Good morning and welcome to the finance show on tiptv.co.uk. It's Friday, the 13th of November. Lucky for some, unlucky for others. 10 a.m. And we've got an action-packed lineup here. Star-studded guests, including Mike Ingram, Steve Woodcock, David Archer, Alex Donoghue, Peter Watson, Charlie Gibson, Richard Hunter, Simon Lambert, Adam Ryan. And we're going to start off with Mike Ingram.
Good morning,
Seth. Strategist at BGC Partners.
I am. Indeed.
Right, how are you this morning? Feeling lucky?
I'm feeling lucky, punk, yes. And it's Friday, so, you know, that's going to be good for everybody, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that always helps. Right, let's go straight into the show. We've got some broker stocks, which I've picked out.
Right.
Obviously, don't forget to watch the show later on the app, either on Apple or on Android. Straight into the broker forecast after that. Halfords. A neutral rating at JP Morgan. Obviously, Halfords in the news, the bikes and auto parts people in the news recently, they had a bad summer. Bike sales down. People obviously don't particularly feel like getting killed on the streets of London anymore for some reason, a suicide run that you can have there. But targets there, JP Morgan keeping their target at 460. And Deutsche Bank a hold, but the lower target 425. They had a great run, I think, a couple of years back a year going to the summer.
I find that recommendation quite strange, actually, because I think the stock's just, we'll see it on the chart, I guess, I think it's just up below 400, isn't it? And I think the market consensus is about 480 on the target price, so that doesn't seem to be very consistent with a neutral rec. I mean, the other thing with Halfords, I mean, you've mentioned the poor numbers, they were a touch soft yesterday, but also they've made this big acquisition of Nationwide chain of auto shops, and they're worried about execution risk there as well.
Right. So, but they're sort of getting away from the, going into more the auto parts area than
exactly
the bike
exactly.
area. Right. Next up is a strange choice, perhaps. We've got a strange choice. SAB Miller. Well, you would have thought that the whole thing was all over.
Well, yeah, because in principle, you know, you've got this agreed bid, official bid now at £44. So really, the market price should really factor in, you know, the time value of money, which is very little in this interest rate environment, but also the chance that it's a broken deal, that the deal doesn't get consummated, and the SAB Miller share price moves back much closer to the undisturbed share price of a few months ago.
Is it helpful that Berenberg and Investec have sort of come up and tweak their recommendations?
Well, they're both holds, and they're both with 40, not really. It's it's interesting to for me, the most interesting thing, other than the current gap between the share price, which is £40 and change, I think, and £44, where the bid is the implication of what they think the FTSE is going to do, because they both got hold recommendations with basically a 9-ish% upside, and I presume that's a 12-month target price. So they're basically saying that that's the sort of return they're expecting from the FTSE. But if you look at where people actually officially think the FTSE is going to go, it's over 20%. So there's a bit of weirdness going on, but we'll get all these outlooks for 2016 hitting desks very shortly, so perhaps it'll become clearer then.
It doesn't mean they just got it wrong before, and now they're just trying to adjust regroup.
You could well infer that. I couldn't possibly comment.
Finally, Thomas Cook, the travel agent, hurt by the terrorist events in the Middle East, also hurt by this the deaths of children on holiday, I think, sort of a few years ago, and the payout that they had to do for that. So that's sort of an image destroyer, a PR disaster. Target now 135 at Credit Suisse, but they're suggesting outperform, presumably from current lower levels. Again, a bit of a break call.
Well, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you see this analyst recommendations and target prices all the time, where, you know, if it's going up, they always think, well, you've got a bit more, hang on. And then, you know, as and when the story turns, and eventually it always does for whatever reason, either the company doesn't deliver or expectations just get too extended. And then they're sort of, well, they're still saying, well, now's not the right time to get out. You know, you can still come up a little bit, and you follow it all the way down again. And looking at the target price against the share price of Thomas Cook, it just mirrors exactly that.
And isn't the problem here also that these are fundamental calls, and the technical and the trading call, it would be totally different. So they're trying to play sort of a technical or trading game, when it's an investment game, which is totally different.
I think, I mean, I wrote about this a while ago. I think there's it's easy to prove that there's this structural bias in fundamental recommendations.
Okay, well, let's go on to the charts and see if there's any technical information there. Halfords, the big gap to the downside there at the end of the summer, and we've had the follow through there, key £4.20 support. I suppose the way it looks and the way the market is, you wouldn't really expect that support to hold at this stage. Next up with SAB Miller, the market. I mean, this was actually quite a dip in August, wasn't it? I mean, people would have been slapped with the deal coming.
Well, that's why they thought that the bid was actually quite opportunistic, because obviously it was taken out at a very sizable premium to
that dip
there. But of course, the average not price looking is so clever from there. So
yes, I have to say I'm surprised that the company's accepted. Accepted that deal. I think they could have. I mean, this is one of the few situations where they could actually have held on for a couple of years and just, you know, built the business a bit more.
Possibly, although actually the numbers they just came out with were also soft, not massively, but to the tune of 2-3%. And ultimately, this came down to which management team they felt could squeeze the most costs out of the business. And AB InBev effectively won the argument, saying that the combined entity, we can squeeze more cost out of it than the standalone South Miller.
Okay, well, let's move along to Thomas Cook. Again, a gap to the downside, support towards 100. You would sort of, in this the current climate, really be looking for 100 to be taken out first before the top of the range there. So that's looking rather weak. Okay, let's move along to Omkar Godbole from FX Street and his latest analysis of the markets. US dollar heading higher into the weekend. Not a difficult thing maybe to guess at the moment.
Well, Mario Draghi is taking every opportunity to talk down the euro. He was talking down, inflation prospects within the eurozone only yesterday, and also you've had some caution from both the Bank of England in terms of the rate outlook and the growth outlook. Andy Haldane was talking about slowing growth in the UK, and you also had the Bank of Japan Governor Hirohiko Kuroda also signalling that perhaps, you know, the yen could go a little bit weaker again. So dollars on the flip side of all of that.
US retail sales later on today expected to be 0.3%, previous 0.1%. And Omkar suggests that a contraction in retail sales could trigger a broad-based US dollar weakness. Although I have to say, I can't see it in this current environment. I think it would just hold steady. Gold appears oversold, could correct towards the $1,100 mark. That's his other call. Next slide, I hope. Right, what's trending? As you mentioned, Draghi trying to talk the euro down towards maybe towards parity. I don't know what his destination is there.
Zero.
And on the other side, Federal Reserve interest rate hike. Fisher says strong US dollar held the Fed back before. That's another excuse now.
Yeah, and of course, Stanley.
Another excuse for not raising rates, which is probably the one that could work.
I think now you saw how the market panicked in September, where they were thrown a loop by the Fed. And I think if the Fed produces another about term between now and pulling the trigger in December, I think it will not do the market or the economy any good whatsoever. But of course, Stanley Fisher is the vice chair. He's generally known as something of a dove, perhaps not quite as much so as Yellen. So when he's saying that, you know, he's relatively constructive about the dollar and about the US economy, you know, that does carry some weight.
Right, and just Wall Street falling commodities and the US outlook sees Wall Street die, which it did, was quite a big fall yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a broad-based fall, but yes, the commodity sector was leading the dip. But, you know, I've reiterated this time and time again over the last year or so, the outlook for the global economy ain't great. On a relative basis, US looking okay, but it's all relative. You know, we are looking at the weakest growth rate in the global economy since 2009 this year.
Well, let's just rush along to the last few slides here. Dollar's appreciation, foreign weakness have been sizable shock, but the US economy appears to be weathering them, according to Fisher. And then an interesting divergence here with the ECB balance sheet and Eurozone CPI. I think the message there is that the strategy doesn't work.
Yeah, although, of course, we're looking at headline CPI as opposed to core CPI. So a lot of what you've been picking up over the last 12 months has been fuel prices. But you are right that, you know, we are seeing that sort of seep into the core inflation numbers now. And also, the more recent peak we saw in the ECB balance sheet wasn't due to QE. It was a, so it was a lower quality liquidity injection, shall we say, into the market than what we've seen over the last 7 months. So, but yeah, it's the benefits of QE to the real economy and also to inflation and are unproven.
It's just, I think there's one more slide. Am I right or not? Okay, yeah, that's right. The sentiment all right down the middle here. The point to note, though, is that the FTSE is back at 50%. Yeah. A few days ago, it was up at 80% when the FTSE was at 6,400. It's now around 6,200. So it did work as an overbought indicator against the punters.
Yeah, it's one of those sort of deep value trades that people like to dip in when they think it's all been a little bit overdone. But again, I think the market remains pretty low conviction.
Okay, just a few stocks to look at here. I've just got Audio Boom. This is supposed to be a seller in the market. Hopefully that seller may be out quite soon. But currently near the base there, around the 50-day moving average, 4.29 pence, maybe a weekly close above that will take us back towards the top of the range at 6 pence. Strategic Minerals stock, I noticed on Twitter, seems to be having a little bit of a bounce. Again, 50-day moving average, usually the sort of the fast money around that area, 0.28 pence holding above that back towards 0.4 pence. And finally, a stock, which is also a bit of a Twitter situation, or Twitter fans, the traders there, a little handle there on this recovery here above the 50-day moving average, looking to break the 200-day at 3.32 to get us back up to 5 pence over the next month or so.